Okay, we'll pick up in Galatians again. And Paul's in chapter 3 been dealing really with the experience of the Galatians, with those who had come in and were now trying to add to the gospel by the law. And Paul made it clear that the law brings a curse. No man's justified by the works of the law. Trusting in anything else but Christ will not avail. And that faith of Christ that is given by God and unto his people. And the passage we just finished up, looking at starting verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Well, that's again, the world likes to think, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good gal. You know, I've lived a good life. I've tried to obey the Ten Commandments. Paul makes it real clear to us, and until we come to see that, there's no hope in Christ, really, because we don't think we need one. But the scripture had concluded all under sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, God chose the people. And as part of his decree, you know, it even involved their fall and Adam. And it was all that he might redeem to himself a people. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And then in verse 23, but before faith came, and again, faith is a gift of God, it comes. It's not something you well up inside yourself or something you can try to plead with somebody to have. You know, please have faith. Please, God gives that. We can present Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But we can't make people believe. And they can't make themselves believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. And the we here, the elect of God. You know, we're born lost in our trespasses and sin. We're born because of our relationship to Adam. Lost and undone. I mean, under the law, as Paul said earlier, the law brings a curse. Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster for those of God's people. The law was the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. May God put us in these circumstances and he brings us along, and in his due time, his children are under that schoolmaster that they might be brought to Christ. That we might be justified by faith. And then he says in verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We, by the grace of God, are revealed and take our place as children, take our place as heirs. And Paul's going to elaborate on that as we go on. And he starts in the next several verses and really continues on for a while. But at the beginning of verse 26, he says this, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The elect there in Galatia, the saints in Galatia, says you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know, they identified with Christ. The Lord brought them to identify with his church. And we'll elaborate on that. And then he goes on and says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. Now, Paul isn't saying these distinctions that are God-ordained and that he set forth no longer exist in this life and are to be ignored. And again, no one could read Paul and believe that he thinks of such a thing. But before the cross, you know, all around is love. God's elect are all precious in his sight without distinction. And if you be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed. Again, these false teachers were coming in here and saying, well, you got to be circumcised. You have to become a Jew. You need to join the seed of Abraham if you want to be saved. Paul's saying, you already are. You already are. You are Abraham's seed and heirs. You're already heirs according to the promise. Well, let's look more detail on these verses. And again, as I was thinking of these things this week, and I'll have it all written down, but you, the confusion of the world, and you know that we're children. God chose us. And you know what? Children are children before they're born. The world doesn't understand that. The abortion world doesn't understand that. But there's some parallel spiritually, I think, to this. No, we're already children. Well, we're conceived, and we're conceived in eternity past. We're already children before we really were. But eventually we're born and take our place as heirs. And there's a parallel, I think, to a lot of these things that Paul's talking about. And some of the other things that took place in the Jewish culture and law. He says in verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Indeed, all the saints there in Galatia, those who have truly been born again by the Spirit of God, those who have been brought to embrace the gospel, they are the children of God. So these folks coming in and saying, you got to do this, you got to do that, they can be ignored, and like Brother Howe said, you know, they're going to be accursed. They're not children of God by nature. The only one that's a child of God by nature is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're not children of God by the law, because Paul's already shown that the law can make no one a son of God. But they're children of God, as Paul's used that expression over and over and again, by the God-given faith of Jesus Christ. By the exercise of that faith in Jesus Christ. So don't be confused when Scripture talks about your faith and somehow you think it's some human thing. If you read all the Scripture in context, what Paul's talking about, he again and again talks about the faith of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's our faith because it was given to us. it's our faith in every sense of the word, because we received it of God. But it's not something that was manufactured within the human. And so it's manifested in time by the faith they have in Christ, because of the faith they received of Christ, that they are children of God. But the fact is, again, as we look at the Scripture, they were children of God before by election. We can't comprehend and understand all this. I don't know what an elect sheep looks like. I don't know what an elect person looks like. But we're children of God. We're the sheep. Christ came to find the lost sheep. They were already sheep. They belonged to him. He came to find the wayward children. They were already children. By the everlasting covenant between the three persons of the Godhead. That verse we often reflect on, Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's a shepherd of the sheep. He came to find the lost sheep. The passage over in Hebrews 2 that I think sheds so much light as well says, for as then or forasmuch then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood. Okay, the children were partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same. Do you see what's trans? The children were already partakers of flesh and blood, and so he partook of the same. He didn't do it to make them. They were already children, and because they were children, he partook of flesh and blood. He also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus Christ took on flesh because the children had partaken of flesh. And the context here makes it clear when we speak of faith in Christ that it's the faith of Christ that we received of God, that it's by God. He's the author and finisher, the scripture says. That's clear to everybody, except the Arminians, except the bulk of the religious world today. They think man has some power to well up some kind of faith in himself. This faith in Christ is evidence. It's proof. It's assurance. It's a seal to the Galatians that they have faith in Christ. Demonstrates their relationship. It's not the cause of their relationship. No. Since the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he took on flesh and blood. They were already children. It's evidence, it's proof, it's assurance of the work of the Holy Spirit and really of their election from eternity past. And Paul's point here is to counter that false doctrine of these Judaizers that came in here that were seeking to cause these saints in Galatia to question their standing with God. He said, you're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That God-given faith and that obedience that follows it. Those things are what manifest, which testify to, which confirm their standing as true children of God. And then he continues on in verse 27, which, listen, these saints in Galatia, Paul wrote this letter, if you go back and see, he wrote it to the churches which are in Galatia. He wrote it to the folk, to the churches there, which the church is a body of baptized believers who've covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. So he's saying, you all there, you've covenanted, you're baptized believers, covenanted to carry out the commands of Christ. He says, for as many as you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. He's not speaking of some kind of baptism into to some mythical, universal, invisible church. He's speaking to these particular saints there in Galatia and says, for those of you that were baptized into the Lord's churches there, you were baptized in identification with, into Christ. That word ace there speaks of an identification, can speak of an identification with, and a standing with. You were baptized to identify yourself with the Lord, with his church. And again, here's further proof that they shouldn't question, that they got to add something else to this, that they're not true children. For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know, it's, they've identified with him. It's like when you join the Boy Scouts, which I guess aren't the Boy Scouts anymore. They're the Boy/Girl Scouts, whatever they are. It used to be, you joined the Boy, you put on a uniform. You identified with them. You know, it said, I'm a Boy Scout. And those that were baptized with relation to Christ and into his church, they put on Christ. They said to the world, I identify with Christ. I am, if you will, a Christian. It's similar to the usage we see Paul uses over in 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 2, where he says this, and we're all baptized unto Moses, that same word there, ace, into, unto, in the cloud and in the sea. Now, were the Israelites baptized in the universal invisible Moses? No. They were baptized symbolically as they went through passing the sea. They were in identification with Moses. They identified with him. They identified with Moses and with the nation of Israel. And did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual bread, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. You know, those true believers in Israel, they understood, you know, to the extent of God's promises. They saw his day and rejoiced in it, as the Lord spoke of Abraham. Says, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. They publicly identified with him. They publicly identified with his church. I think it's important. Say, well, you just got some little thing there. It don't matter, nothing. Well, it should matter to me. And it should matter to others. I've identified with Christ and his church. I've been baptized into with reference to Christ. I've put on Christ. Oh, there's folks out there, I suppose, who are saints that haven't done that. I don't understand. But that's between them and God, because God determines that. Ultimately, even that, identifying with Jesus Christ and his church, putting on Christ, is the work of the Spirit. As I understand the scriptures, not all the saints, not all the children of God are members of his church. They're not all composed of bride. That's his doing and his determination, not mine. Paul talks about the work of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 12. And again, folks try to make this refer to some invisible, universal, ethereal thing. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, he says this, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. He's speaking, go back there in Corinthians, he's talking to the local church at Corinth. He's telling the saints at Corinth, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you identified with Jesus Christ and his church through scriptural baptism. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. And then he picks up a theme that we're going to see he follows here in Galatians as well. He says, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So Paul said, here's the evidence. And he's writing to the churches in Galatia. And he's telling the Galatians to reflect back on their experiences. And the Holy Spirit led you to be baptized and to identify with his church and to put on Christ. Now, you're going to let these Judaizers come up from Jerusalem and tell you you're not really a children of God? Paul's purpose here is to confirm to the saints in Galatia that they are saints indeed. And they've already, by the grace of God, been manifested to be so. And all without the works of the law. Without circumcision. And that none of these things can add anything to them. And then he continues on in verse 28, much like we saw he mentioned there in Corinthians. Where Paul says this, there is neither Jew No Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. God's love towards his children. And, you know, the ignorant and the blinded, you know, try to use this verse to argue against physical reality and the actual world. And we'll pick this up and look at it in more detail. Brethren, there's DNA. There are Jews and there are Greeks. There are chromosomes. There are males and there are females. You know, there are political and social differences. There are bond and there are free. None of these things are of importance before the cross, before Christ, and before the election and redemption of his people. But God ordained them. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we'll look in more detail on this, because I think it's kind of important. God created them, male and female. God created the Jewish nation. God created the races. Paul's already saying right here, there ain't none better than the other. One more elect than the other. One more Christian than the other. One more than spiritual than the other. And I'll close on this verse, and it kind of, we'll go back and look in more detail on these things. But it always disturbs me. When I see people take Acts 17:26, and they just take it totally out of context, and not only totally out of context, they ignore half of the verse to try to preach some egalitarian concept that's, you know, popular in the world today. But Acts 17:26 says this: "He hath made of one blood." Brother, we all came from Adam. And then from Adam and after the flood, we all came from Noah. They are made of one blood, all nations of men. From Noah's sons, Japheth and Shem and Ham. That's where they all came from. And he had made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God divided them. You go back to the Tower of Babel, and you go back to the divisions of the earth. You know, the Lord did that. And argue that none of these things matter. These no sense. And folks will take that one part of the verse here and say, "He hath made of one blood all nations of men." Yes, that's true. But read the rest of the verse. You know, God established the bounds and habitations. God intended these things. And the more we confuse them, well, I don't think I even have to say. You know, the more problems we face, the more confusion we have. And again, you can't unscramble eggs. You can't go back and undo all these things. And we need to go on in faith and as Christians from where we are, and to seek, you know, to. But God ordained these things. God determined these things. And when we try to confuse the nations, we try to confuse the races, we try to confuse male and female, well, that's where we live. That's where we live. God made these distinctions. And, I'm off my notes here and just preaching. But, you know, go back to creation and read there. What did God do? Time and time again, God divided. He divided the heavens and the earth. He divided the waters that were above and the waters that were beneath. Do a little bit more study on that. Now they're coming to believe that there's all these waters that are being actually created under the earth. Well, I already knew that from reading Genesis. You read about the flood and what happened there. And it talks about the opening of the earth and the waters. Anyway, Now I'm really getting off field. But we'll pick up here and talk about, you know, what Paul's. The point is, again, that all of God's elect are precious in his sight. And before him, you know, indeed, you know, there is no difference. But God ordained certain things that are to be maintained in this world just for simple order. And we'll talk about that as well. Okay, let's take our hymnals and turn to page number 340. And we'll stand and sing Electing Grace. 340.
What page?
340. 340. Electing Grace. And if you like, you can stand as we sing this closing hymn. Father, we thank you for this day and the privilege to gather, to open your word. To study those things that already revealed to your apostle Paul. Those things that you inspired him to write down that we can open and hear that sure word from on high. Lord, I pray you help us to discern your truths. And Lord, beyond discerning and understanding, to walk in them. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, that you chose a people. That you chose children. And because of those children, because of those sheep, our Savior took on flesh and blood. He suffered our punishments. And you poured your wrath out on him that we rightly deserved. Father, we can't comprehend such love. And yet, Lord, we know that you loved your people with an everlasting love. Your chosen people, Lord, from every tongue and every nation, male and female, bond, free, Jew and Gentile. Father, we thank you for that great truth. And Lord, that you manifest those that are yours as you give us faith. And draw us to exercise that faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you give us the strength to stand in that truth, to be that people you would have us to be, to manifest whose we are and what you've made us. Lord, go with us as we go our ways, as we won't be back again for a couple weeks now. Keep us safe. Keep us faithful. Keep your hand upon all of us. Use us all to your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.